Thank you, brother, for this sweet little devotional. Yes, that's a beautiful picture that we can relish and cherish when we come together to celebrate a marriage, to celebrate a wedding. It is it just, like the brother said, it shows forth God's faithfulness, especially in the case of Brother Samuel and Evelina there. It shows something really, truly special, Linda. You two have been in my prayers the last little while. And an amazing work was done in the last year and a half. I can't overstate at how we saw God coming and just touching the lives and the right buttons at the right time to make it all come together and work together. It truly was remarkable to watch and behold, and that gives me even more confidence to see we have a faithful God. We have a faithful God who's out for our best interests, and He's got our best interests at heart. Not always the way we plan it, not always the way we see it, and not always the way we like it, but He's always, as God as. Favorite verse says, I don't know exactly, I think it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. That's our God. That's the God we worship. And so, yes, we're celebrating a marriage. Surprise, huh? Wow. Wonderful. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I love to witness and behold them. We're a little out of practice. A little rusty. 4 years ago was the last one we had, so things are rusty here. As we move through, things don't work smoothly. It's maybe an indicator that we maybe step up the game or something here, huh? But there's many aspects to marriage that we can talk about, brothers and sisters. We can talk to the husbands, the wives, we can talk to couples, dads and moms, because it all involves it. At marriage, the couple really doesn't. They're just. This is about their day. This is your special day. But we have an audience, and in the audience of everybody, we want to touch on this vital institution of marriage. It can't be overstated, because a generation is impacted and affected by marriage, by the coming together of a man and a woman in God's order, in God's direction. Something eternal is set in motion, and a generation is affected and impacted. And so it's important that we all get our feelers out and feelers up and realize married couples, husbands, wives, young people seeking a marriage partner, it involves all of us. And this vital institution of marriage, brothers and sisters, when we dig into it, there is so much to uncover, there's so much to unpack. I don't even pretend to think that I'm going to speak on all the aspects of marriage here this morning. But we do want to touch on each aspect of the wives, their role, the husbands, their role, and as parents and young people seeking a marriage partner, all in God's order and with God's glory, as we celebrate this joyful time that reminds me of the marriage supper of the Lamb that I'm really waiting for, that's coming to a city near you. So, there's many scriptures we could use here. I'd like to start with a quote. You don't marry one person. You marry three. The person you think they are, the person they are, and the person they're going to become as a result of being married to you. That's the case in every marriage. Happy couples don't have the best of everything, but they make the best of everything. And so I want to turn to God's precious word. Mark chapter 10, verses 6 to 9, we'll see what Jesus said of marriage. We could go right back to Adam and Eve. But I want to talk on Ephesians 5 this morning, but we'll start off with Mark chapter 10. When the Pharisees were talking about, when the Sadducees were confronting him and the Pharisees about divorce and remarriage, in verse 6 Jesus said, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." And now we know how that attack, under attack in the godless society that we're living in. In the godless society is it a privilege that we are living in this society? Because we know that judgment is coming soon and maybe God's kingdom is coming soon. But we're watching a society unravel in real time when these very words of Jesus are being attacked. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, God shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God therefore has joined together, let not man put asunder. And you see how this institution has been undermined deliberately, purposefully, and godlessly in the Western civilization. Thank God that God still is working on people's lives to preserve the sanctity and the beauty of marriage, the way God intended it from the beginning. And when God made them male and female, he said it was very good. When God made man, the way he made us was very good. We were made in his image for his glory. And we glorify him when we follow his plan for marriage and for the human physical relations. Because inside of God's boundaries, marriage shows forth the beauty of God. Outside of God's boundaries, it shows pain, devastation, harm, hurt, and generational curses that affect children and even the grandchildren when it's outside of God's boundaries. But within, what a glorious, beautiful thing we see. And so we want to cherish that and inspire the family of God on those beautiful things. Marriage is God's institution. The order and beauty, the way he created it, is marvelous to behold. And that's my story, my marriage. You see the glory there in the family, as we get older, we see how God blesses and puts his stamp of approval when we follow his plan. My encouragement is that is God's people to seek godly marriages. You know, life throws many curveballs at us, both as single people and as married couples. It does. We're broken humans, and you'll find out, as all married couples do, that their spouse is not perfect. They're just as much a human being as we are. We have our faults and we have our failings. We have our shortcomings. But we have God. And we choose to love. We choose to serve. We choose to cherish what God cherishes and each other. And God brings beauty out and fulfillment and our highest happiness that he intends for the human race. Satan knows that. That's why he's attacking these very verses in the Bible. He knows that. He knows that's the foundation of society. He knows that's what all societies are built on. You undermine, you go after the foundation, and the rest of the building has nothing to stand on. Because there is no greater picture than the bride, a wife, and a husband, and a marriage than the church. That God uses the woman as the bride, as the wife. It says the bride has made herself ready. It talks in Revelation. It talks in many of the church and how Christ as the husband and how he delights in his wife and in his church. That gives us a little picture, a little microcosm of the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. And to see that, I want to be a part of it. I want to partake in that. And just this week here, I was doing a funeral, a memorial of an elderly gentleman of Brother Ned Vetter, Marvin's father. And in 1 week, we see the end of a life, and witness the beginning of a new life, of a new life together. And what I glean from it, having done this for the message, given the message for both parties here, you see both the frailty of life on the one hand, and on the other hand, you see the legacy that can be left behind when we walk with God. How other lives are touched when we don't even realize we're touching lives. And that's a challenge. That challenges me. That we can, we might be having an impact on people that never say a word. Only later on, many, many years later, there the impact is, people come out and say, "What you've been a positive influence in my life. You have touched me in a certain way. Over there, you were like this. You know, you were at this meeting. You were at this seminar. You were this German. He was this German school teacher. This brother was. I worked with him in the barn. It doesn't matter where. Somewhere, somehow, each of us impacts lives, and we want our marriages to do that more than anything else. Because that's His kingdom. That is His kingdom. And God gave us this beautiful imagery to show forth His goodness. And so we'll go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll show the glory of the church and the bride and the husband. Paul shows forth both their roles, their responsibilities, but also the beauty that comes forth in these verses. And he starts off in verse 22 of Ephesians 5 by saying, I'm going to read the whole passage first, and then we'll come back and touch on it. Wives, submit yourselves. I'll read another verse first here. We're going to read Proverbs 18 first, verse 22. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife finds a good thing." Okay, that's maybe put the phones on airplane mode, if possible. "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Proverbs 31:10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Proverbs 12, verse 4. "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh him ashamed," I guess I'll read that too, "is as rottenness to his bones." That's the Bible. That's the scripture. And we see how we complement each other. Wives, sisters, you don't realize how big of an impact you are in the grand scheme of things. And I want to impress that upon the sisters here in this message. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He says here, he brings the wife, the husband, the church. The wife, the church, interchangeably, over and over, back and forth. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. Here's the beautiful imagery. Christ wants to present, like the bride, how she made herself ready the last few weeks and months, and the family. A remarkable picture to behold, a remarkable illustration, how the wife makes herself ready. And he says that he might present it to himself. To who does the bride present herself? To her husband. We as the church, together, we present ourselves to our husband Jesus. And through that union, children of God are brought into this world. Physical children, spiritual children, through this union. And if the husband is absent from the church, there will be no children. Christ has to be the head. And so also let Christ be the head of your union. He might, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What a picture. You know this ironing boards, you steam the clothes and make sure there's no wrinkle there. That's how serious Christ wants his people to prepare themselves for his coming, for his son Jesus. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. He just brings the church in over and over again. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This is one of the beautiful passages in the Bible that talks to both, that shows forth the glory of marriage, gives the role and responsibilities of both the wife and the husband in the union, and this is what opens the channels for God's blessings to flow. And we really want to make sure that is so vital to allow having God bless our marriages and our relationships. And that's why he starts off by saying to the wives. Now, the men are not off the hook, and we'll get you as well. So just hang on there. We'll start with the sisters first, because Paul did and Peter did. In Peter, I think it's 1 Peter here. 1 Peter 3:7. He also speaks of those of and we look at what Paul writes here when he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands." And so that's when I think of that passage, I think of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we see a picture. Now, this is Ruth joining herself to her mother-in-law. But You see a picture of devotion and dedication. Ruth saw something in her mother-in-law that she did not have with her own people. She saw that she was worshiping a god. They served a god in Israel, which her pagan nation did not serve. And she sensed something in her that she could say those words to Naomi when she told her to go back home to her people. And she said, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge." That's a wonderful marriage vow. Sisters, you chose your husband. You chose your man. And that's one of the most wonderful commitments that you can say. "Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall my people be. Thy God, my God." If we reverse that, we have a problem on our hands. A marriage problem. God ordered it that way. Now it's important that the husband know that they are serving God, that they are knowing who they follow. They are worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That they are committed to walking with him no matter what comes our way. And the wives then make this commitment. This is what brings beauty and order to the union. This is what brings a safe place, a home that is a sanctuary, where children will be brought up in the fear of the Lord, where children will be nurtured and nourished and seen, and to see the order and the beauty of God's blessings flow. Because God has a chain of command, channels through which he can only flow his blessings into the marriage union, into this home. Only one way, and that is God, Christ, husband, wife, children. In that order, if the wife turns it around, we have a frequency change. We have a breach in this link, and God's blessings can't flow. This order brings peace, rest, and an ideal environment that God is after. And as I said at the beginning here, the enemy seeks to undermine this with all his power and might. He seeks to destroy it. And he's busy. He's hard at work. And he even does it to married couples. He tries to undermine this work, to make the marriage a place where instead of there's love and harmony, there's fighting, there's resistance, there's rebellion. And when that happens, the romance of the younger years is going to quickly fade. This beautiful feelings and these fuzzy feelings we had are not going to carry us through the difficult times in life and the challenging times. Because feelings have never sustained a marriage. Commitments sustain a marriage. Feelings are fickle. They're good. Trust you me, they're good. They're good in their order. But we do not let our hearts be governed by our feelings. Our heart, that's why Christ wants us to be first submitted to him as husband and wife, and then to God's order in the marriage. When that happens, our feelings are there. God blesses us with that part. But never can feelings sustain a marriage. And we want your husbands and your wives to realize that. And for this cause, man shall cleave to his wife. So sisters, your role, beside the obvious, is to be a miniature representation of Christ's church. Being a helpmeet, as the Bible says right at the beginning when he created man and woman, he said, "I'm going to make a suitable helper for him. A suitable companion that is going to stand beside her man through thick and thin, through no matter what comes their way. And challenges will only strengthen the relationship, not weaken it, if we follow God's order. Sisters, women, your value is immeasurable. The West has cheapened up the woman, objectified her, made her into a piece, made her into just eye candy and something to worship, and culture has devalued her, and as a result, many women are suffering from anxiety, and you know, they're insecure because they're focused on the external part, where Peter says the hidden man of the heart. That is what is in the sight of God a great price. It is not the outward adorning. It is not the outward beauty, although we all know it helps. But it's the inner beauty. That's what makes a person really beautiful. That's what makes a woman's beauty shine. Not the looks. The glory. And that shows forth the glory of Christ's bride. And we want to encourage the young ladies not to focus their attention on that, but to focus on have a purity of heart, purity of mind, and realize as well, sisters, sister, you are a wife before you are a mother. And that's God's order. God made you as a helpmeet to your husband. That is the number one role you have. And all sisters need to understand that. And so the word submission has had an ugly ring to it in the modern feminist movement. The modern feminist movement has just made that word sound so ugly. Submission. You mean I have to be under? No. Submission proves that you have faith in God. That the man that God gave you is God's gift to you. And God has given you the man that you need. And the man that will complete you just as you will complete him. And so submitting to him shows maturity. Submitting shows strength. Just like meekness is real strength. Meekness is not weakness. So submission shows complete trust in the living God. And you know what, sisters? Nothing will be as much an agent of change in your husbands than this one thing. Nothing will make your husbands step up to the plate more and take their role as a leader and as a man than the wives choosing to come under their husbands. A woman that has a problem submitting, the Bible doesn't really have a word for it, but we have a word for it, and it's called the matriarchal spirit. The matriarchal spirit has to do with a spirit where the wife has a major problem submitting to her husband's authority. And as they say in modern culture or Anabaptist culture, she's got the pants on. Sisters, God's order can't be reversed. If you want God's blessing on your marriage, God's order should not be reversed. Because here's what happens. And I say this in all sobriety and seriousness. Here's what happens when God's order is upended. Most husbands who love their wives deeply are not going to fight them. And what's going to happen is the wife, if she takes too much of the leadership role, too much interferes with his decisions and his leading, her husband will simply just withdraw. Her husband will kind of just go back into the background, and you will actually hinder him from reaching his full potential as the leader that God made him to be. And therefore, it's very important to to honor God's order in this relationship. And that's why Christ, he says, just as Christ is the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And sister, I know that can be hard meat for some, but that's where the beauty comes from. And if we hold to those valuable truths, God will bless. Now the husbands, verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Love is a choice. Feelings come and go. Love is a decision. And he says, love your wives. And now a word to wives and husbands together, when we say this, is it's not the wife's responsibility to say to her husband, the Bible says you should love me. And husbands, you should never say to your wife, the Bible says you should submit to me. This is for the wife to read and apply, and for the husband to read and apply to their own lives, and not preach to your spouse. Our role is to be the spouse that God has intended for us to be. And so, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Brothers and sisters, who would not want their marriage prayers to be? Who wants their marriage prayers hindered? Who would want that blessing to stop flowing? And he clearly says here that your prayers be not hindered. How are they not hindered? Husbands, honor, give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel. Weaker. We know what weaker means here. A weaker means she's just more easily broken. Women are in so many areas stronger than men. It's marvelous. They are strong. I have one. They're strong. They are so strong in so many ways. And God made it that way. But what does it mean by the weaker vessel? They're more emotional. They're easier to break. They're like glass. They're easier to break. They're easier to hurt. Men, you know, we could take a lot of punches. At least some of us can. Wives are more emotional and they're easier to hurt. And he asks the husband to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. How beautiful is that? Heirs together of the grace of life. So brothers, take your leadership position seriously. Husbands, so that your wives will want to submit to you. That's the key. That your wives will want to submit to you. Be men. Because we have children, and as you know, some of them are sometimes in those early years of our children's lives, their impression of God comes from their dad. Their concept of God is shaped by the dad. Because we are. Since we're in the position of authority, we can have such a powerful impact of blessing on their lives that as they grow up, they will just naturally submit to authority. Why? Because they see their dad is submitted to God's authority. They see their dad is submitted and honors God's word above everything else. And those children will then more easily submit to other authority. They'll submit to God's authority. But if a marriage is a wrestling match between a husband and a wife, those children grow up in an environment where it's going to make them extremely hard for them to trust the living God later. And sometimes it has such a long-term effect on them that it follows them around for a generation. And that is why we want to know the whole counsel of God, both for marriage and for our fellowships. Love your wife, the Bible says. It's not important to win every argument or to win every battle. So Samuel and Evie, you're starting in a unique situation. You already have a full nest. What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous thing God has done here. But in your personal relationship, our marriages are just an empty box when we begin. And that empty box from which both is a box, an account, like an account that we both want to draw from. But we realize if we don't put anything in it as a couple, there will be nothing there to draw. Or if one spouse is the only one putting in and the other one is only making transactions, that bank account of relational bank account is going to run dry sooner or later. Both the husband and the wife need to put in to the account, the relationship bank account it's called. And as they put into that account, when a tough time comes, when a moment comes, there will be something there to draw. You will be able to make a withdrawal and it's not going to break the bank. Right? Amen. Yes. We will quickly find that warm, fuzzy feelings will turn into nagging and quiet resentment. What do we put in? Love. Care. Encouragement, helping, serving one another. A lot of house chores, listening, tenderness. Those are the words that we put in. The enemy wants to put in bickering and resentment and want to cloud the relationship. That's the work of the enemy. We pour in love, sharing, caring, considerate, compassion. Those are the ones when we put in. And the beauty that I've seen in my marriage is God multiplies the effort. He always gives a bigger return than the investment we put in. He always multiplies it, whether it's 5 times, 10 times, or 20 times. If you put a relational good thing into your marriage, God multiplies the results of it in your life and with your children. And so I can't stress that enough, how important that is, that we do that. And I fail too. I'm just a man too. I'm a human being. And so are we all of us. But I'm reminding myself here today as well, so just in case you just in case you're wondering. A great passage to meditate on is 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we all know the love chapter. We know what it says. The love chapter says, love is patient, love is kind. How does it go here? Charity. 1 Corinthians 13. It says, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity is not vaunted itself nor puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hope all things. Endures all things. Charity never fails. Now, at each time charity comes up, put the pronoun I in there. And say the verse again. Good exercise to do. I suffer long. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not vaunt myself. I am not puffed up. I do not behave myself unseemly. Boy, that's sobering. I do not seek my own. I am not easily provoked. I think no evil. I rejoice not in iniquity. I rejoice in the truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things, and I endure all things, and I never fail. That's quite something. Put those words in front. And put them into your relationships, brothers and sisters and couples, and we'll see. That's quite something. That's a great passage to meditate on. And so you commit yourself to honor and cherish one another for the rest of our lives. And believe you me, God gives us the spouse that we need. The spouse, and when he said he made a helpmeet for us, both husbands and wives, he gives us the spouse we need. It's not only does our wives or our husbands complement us or complete us, he or she also is the one God designed that helps shape our character. And if we listen to God in our relationships, it makes us into better people, way better people, that we never could become as single. And that's why I marvel at this great plan. So I want to share just a few more nuggets here, insight and advice of married couples and marriage, and maybe a couple of quotes that you can glean from as well. First, husbands or Samuel, never laugh at your wife's choices because you're one of them. Yep. And an ideal husband understands every word his wife doesn't say. Amen? Wives, is that right? No, maybe. No. There's a light quote here. I love being married. It is great to have this one special person in your life that you want to annoy for the rest of your life. Yeah. Your priorities, our priorities are not what we say they are. They are revealed by how we live and how we walk. What do our lives say about our values? What I say is, the more we invest in our marriages, the more valuable they become, the more precious. So what are the weapons that we can use to fight? What are those spiritual weapons? The first one is forgiveness. Forgive. Not only forgive, but say you're sorry. Even if it takes you a couple hours, even if you think you're right, sometimes just say you're sorry. Forbearance. Forbearance means to give your spouse space. Space to grow, space to develop, space to be themselves. Let the husband and wives be themselves. Don't try to force them into your mold of who they think they should be. And your marriage will flourish and be beautiful. Faith. I should have put that one first. Faith. It is our faith that is the victory. Our faith in God and in the promises of God. Because I remember years ago, it's not quite related to marriage, but it's related to church. And I think I've said it here before. I said when we restarted our church here, had a big reset 15, 17 years ago. I remember pleading with God that I want to be part of the church as you want to be the church to be. I want the church to be the bride that the Bible, that I read about in the Bible. I pled with God in my prayers. Lord, and show me what that church looks like and show me how to walk that way. Because if this church, if what you're promising me in your word, about church life is not true for my family, my marriage, and my fellow brothers and sisters, then I'm not interested in exporting your gospel to anyone else. Because the gospel should work at home first. The gospel needs to be real in the home front. If it's not real there, what are we exporting? What are we sharing with the world? We're just salesmen selling someone else's wares and goods. It says you might be partakers of the divine nature. And that is why I just put your faith in God. Put your faith in the promises of God. Believe that the wonderful work that He's begun in you, He will finish. Believe He's going to give you the strength for the challenges, especially Sister Evelina. The challenges that are there for a brand new bride and a wife. And He will provide you with the day-to-day strength to walk in this wonderful, beautiful institution that we call marriage. Ownership is another weapon we use. Take responsibility when we should. Don't point the finger. Husbands and wives, don't point the finger at each other. I know we all do sometimes, and say you're sorry if you do. Take ownership and say you're sorry. A couple more, thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Nothing has changed my attitude over the years than thanksgiving. We all get attitudes. When life throws some challenges at us and we have a problem and we find that it's always cloudy or the heavens are brass, our prayers are not getting through or there's problems and we can't see our way out, we can't see our way around situations and we struggle. And you know, if we just stop and start giving thanks, the Bible says in everything give thanks. Find something to be thankful for. And the enemy and his wiles and his wicked accusations that he always directs against us. We need the shield of faith, but the weapon is thanksgiving. One of the weapons is to be thankful. Thankful for your house. Thankful for your children. Thank you for your body and the health that you have. Whatever faculties God has given you. Thank Him for running water, for hot water. And for anything you can think of, and we see our attitudes be transformed. The enemy wants to make everything look bleak. Tell the enemy where he belongs. We are in a spiritual warfare, and we are going to win. And rejoice in God's goodness. In Revelations 19, verse 7, to close, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the supper, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Beautiful imagery right there. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Beautiful illustration right in front of us here this morning. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Let us rejoice. And he says, right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. How amazing is that? And so my blessings go out to you. And I'm sure all of you are excited about this. And I'm glad for God's wonderful provision, and I rejoice with you this morning. And may the family of God say amen. Amen. May the family of God say amen. Glory be to His name and glory to Him alone. We are going to before we go to prayer here. The father of the bride, Brother Fred Fetter, is going to have the prayer. We have the prayer standing. But we're going to sing a song first. And then he's going to come up for the prayer. And then I'll come back up and we'll do the official marriage ceremony. I hope I didn't forget anything.
Let's sing a song.
Do this often.
Oh, the prayer to be able to pull it out. Let's all rise for prayer. Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, you reign and rule from heaven above and are worthy of all our praises. Your love endures forever. We thank you, Father, for your presence as we celebrate the most amazing gift, the gift of love which you ordained at the time of creation. We thank you. We thank you for family, friends, and those that came from near and far to this special event. We pray that all will be blessed, that all will be a blessing and be blessed to witness the uniting of two hearts into one. And it's a serious covenant made before God and before all of us as witnesses, as they pledge, Samuel and Evelina, as they pledge their lives and hearts fully to you and to the one and to one another. We pray that you bless them as they stand on the threshold of a new part of their journey in this life. Let them lean into their love of you, to be committed to you fully and to each other. May their lives together bring glory and bring glory to you and to be a testimony of your great love. We are persuaded that it is your will, Father. We can see your mighty power at work in all of this and this holy celebration. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will richly bless them as they exchange their vows, and from this day forward, that they would walk hand in hand in everything that you have destined them to be. Bless them with patience to see them through the times of tension or conflict. Bless them with kindness to enable to nurture and care for one another in times of pain and sorrow. Father, we pray that you will keep your protective hand over them, that the deceiver, the devil, will not come between them and cause division against this holy union. He is a pro at that. Now we offer our hearts and beings to you in adoration and welcome your Holy Spirit amongst the family of God. We give you all the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God bless you. Now that we've been blessed, admonished, and challenged on this wonderful and vital topic of marriage, it still remains for us to conclude with an official marriage ceremony. And so we call to come forward the brother Samuel Wolman. And the sister, Evelina Cheddar. It is well known to all of your coming together and why we are assembled here this day. But so as to we may bear witness of your commitment and promises to each other, in the sight of God, I ask you, brother, first, do you desire to gladly and willingly accept this sister as a gift from God?
Yes.
Do you desire to walk before her in all that is right and good, so that she may have in you an example of godliness and love through which she may be led closer to the Lord? Do you also desire to bear with her in joy and sorrow, in health and sickness, through good times and bad times, to love and cherish her till the Lord part you in death?
Yes.
Now, my sister, do you also desire to gladly and willingly accept this brother as a gift from the Lord?
Yes.
Do you desire to humbly submit to him in all that is right and good, and willingly fulfill your role as a woman, so that through you he may be brought closer to the Lord?
Yes.
Do you desire to bear with him in joy and sorrow, in health and sickness, through good times and bad times, to love and cherish him till the Lord part you in death?
Yes.
To conclude, I ask you both once more in the presence and hearing of God and his people, as a witness of your honest union, you desire to keep faith with one another in all things included in the bond of marriage as long as you live, never to forsake one another until God does part you in death. For what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. If you both desire this, you may answer yes and give each other your right hand.
Yes.
We bear you witness hereby that you marry as a devout and honest husband and wife, after the ordinance of God, the examples of old, and with full knowledge of your parents and church. And now we, together with the whole church, wish you from Almighty Eternal God, yea, from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his blessing and benediction. May he himself join you together and fulfill all his blessings in you, that you may dwell together peaceably and love each other as a devout and godly married couple, serving the Lord as long as you live. And again, we wish for you, regret for you, the grace of God upon your lives through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I now present to you Samuel and Evelina Walter.